Eating is an emotional experience, which is why managing your weight needs to be a psychological one. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Before we get started with tonight's episode of Benched with Bubba, I want to talk to you about RotoBaller.com, proud sponsor of the show. Do my written content over at RotoBaller.com, and this podcast is a part of the RotoBaller Radio Network. So I want to let you know that football season quickly approaching with you guys. Win big in 2021 with RotoBaller.com's NFL Premium Pass. Are you ready to dominate your season-long in DFS leagues? RotoBaller's NFL Premium Pass and Draft Kit include rankings, projections, and cheat sheets for all formats. Get exclusive draft articles, DFS tools, lineup optimizers, and premium Slack chats. Join in on the winning and take 50% off any Premium Pass. Use promo code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A, for another 10% discount. Just visit rotoballer.com/radio, sign up today, and start rotoballing like a boss. And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 397. I have a special guest joining us tonight to talk about some recent baseball news, some young players that performed well or maybe stumbled a bit in 2021, and we'll see where they go in 2022, or our thoughts in 2022, plus talking about one of the biggest gatherings in Arizona, potentially in October. Tons and tons of fun there. Yes. First timer on the show. Really, really looking forward to having him here. You can find him on Twitter at BrentHQ. Brent Hershey, how are we doing?
Good. Bubba, how are you? I'm excited to be on here, too. I know my colleague Ryan has been on once or twice, Bloomfield. Yeah. And I know, you know, some of the other guests and such that you have. So honored to hang out with you for a bit here and chat some ball.
Yeah, I'm glad you were able to join me. Ryan is a great friend. I can consider him a friend. We've talked many times on and off the air. Yeah. One of the good ones out there, as you obviously know. So
for sure.
Big, big fan of Ryan. Before we get too deep into this, obviously you're the GM content manager over at Baseball HQ. Huh. You're on the Eyes Have It podcast with Chris Blessing. Right. Plus much, much more going on. So why don't you let everybody know what's going on at Baseball HQ?
Sure. For those who aren't familiar, we're a baseball, you know, fantasy baseball website, subscription-based, started by Ron Chandler about 25 years ago, amazingly. My duties there are primarily content related with my partner, Ray Murphy, and I. We handle all the day-to-day goods, but I work a lot with the writers and the content part of what goes up on the site every day. We're kind of in the middle of it now and just starting to get ready for one of our other big projects, a couple big projects coming up in the fall. One, which you mentioned, is First Pitch Arizona. The yearly conference, the 3-4 day weekend out in Phoenix that we do every year, except for when COVID rears its ugly head. So we had to miss last year, but we're excited to get back this year. The dates are October 14th through the 17th. Listeners can find out more information, how to register, get an idea and a feel for what we do there at the baseballhq.com website. You'll find links there. But it's a great time. We bring in all sorts of media folks, content providers, as well as invite just regular fantasy baseball nuts there to basically break down and talk about the seasons that's past, the trends happening for the seasons coming up. There's strategy sessions, there's player breakdowns. We obviously are there for the Arizona Fall League, So there's a lot of prospect talk, and we always have three or four games as at the parks as part of what we offer there for the weekend. We also do some drafts. Greg Ambrosius from NFBC hosts some NFBC drafts that happen for 2022 in this case that you know, play out. Everyone loves drafting, of course. But it's a great time, great camaraderie there between all of the attendees, all the speakers from all kinds of different sites. And it's just I could go on and on about that, obviously, for a while. But the dates this year are October 14th through the 17th, and folks can find out more information at baseballhq.com. The other big fall project we always have is are the books that we do, primarily the Baseball Forecaster, which is more well known. And just today, Ron Chandler, Ray Murphy, and I were on one of our calls that happen about once a week or so this time, kind of starting to lay the groundwork for the types of any changes we're making to the book this year, beginning to line up preliminary details about that. It's a lot of work, but a lot of fun too. And I know for as publishing it, it's a great thing when those when that package shows up in the mail with the finished products there after we've poured quite a bit of our October and November into that project. So I'm involved there. I also head up the Minor League Baseball Analyst, which is a smaller kind of minor league companion volume, similar kind of with a fantasy baseball focus. And that comes out in January each year. So yes, that's my long-winded answer to your question.
Well, no, it's great because the content at Baseball HQ, I've said it about a few different providers that I've had many of their contributors on my show. And like, there's a reason why I have many of those contributors on my show is I like the product that is brought to it. So yeah, feel free to go about it. And your explanation of Baseball HQ, I think is, First Pitch Arizona, I think is great because you hear many people have gone to it many times now and they're just like you, they just gush over it. And next thing you know, it's like, we're doing it's just a long way of saying it's awesome because Everyone's there and everyone enjoys baseball and fantasy baseball. So I'm looking forward to it. Unless something really crazy happens, I will be there for the first time. So I'm very, very excited to make the trip out there. I love the Scottsdale Phoenix area. It's great. So I'm pretty excited about it. So.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
We shall see. But let's get into some recent news that'll impact our fantasy teams, even though we only have like 5 weeks or so left, give or take. There's still a lot that can take place.
Yeah.
And we'll start off with Jack Flaherty, who returned from the IL on his third start. People started blowing up Twitter saying, oh, the velocity's down. And then he left the game. Shoulder injury, back to the IL. I guess the easy way to look at this, is he just a drop for you now going forward?
Yeah, I don't see. I mean, especially in any sort of league where you're in contention here in the last 5-6 weeks, I just it wouldn't be someone I would consider sort of counting on at this point, given the trajectory of this season at least. There's always someone that I feel like is just on the cusp of like getting into that really top tier. There's always, the walks, I think, still have been kind of what's holding them back some. And the exciting part this year was early on, that had changed. I mean, he had brought the walk rate down. Some of his other metrics had pretty much stood still. So I had him on a team or two and was excited about that. Obviously, pitchers are there to get injured, unfortunately. And it's been a rough rest of the year for him. I'm still interested long term. I'm almost hoping that he doesn't pitch anymore this year. That the rest and kind of that he can start preparing for 2022, and we'll just kind of see where it goes from there. I think he probably gets downgraded a bit because of that going into 2022, but that's a long way away yet, so we have to make those decisions.
Yeah, so it's a long ways away, but I'm curious to see where he does go in 2022 because, 2020 or 2019, he had the great season. Second half, that was like one of the best you'll see. It was Pedro-esque in the second half of what he was doing out there. And then in 2020, it was a weird season because the Cardinals had like a 2-week COVID span and their just whole schedule got messed up. Yeah. And then this year, it's been on and off the IL. When he's been off, like you said, he's been really good. But it's like, I wonder how many innings they let him go next year, because he still is young. He's still someone they want for the future. So it's going to be a fun discussion point throughout the offseason, because that will affect his draft value for sure. Yeah. In theory, if he goes 150 plus innings, which I think nowadays you could probably give some light on this also. I think unless you're elite, we're seeing 170-ish to 180 is probably kind of the new standard, because guys aren't going deep. So like 150 or 160 out of Flaherty, I think still a pretty elite pitcher to me.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I think those shifts of what you're talking about with the innings pitched is kind of where we're going. And some of us that have been in this a long time, it sort of takes a while to kind of make mm-hmm. that translation. And I'm still handling that some myself, too. But I think you're right. And when I was looking at it, too, I mean, yes, I actually was a little bit surprised, to realize that, yeah, he's still only 25 years old. So there's, he came into the league young. There's still a good, certainly a good solid portion of his career left in front of him, and hopefully he comes back, improves himself healthy in spring training, and kind of go from there.
100% with you on that. I haven't seen any new news on Thursday as we record on Thursday, but Trevor Story left game two of the doubleheader with an injury. I think it's just something to monitor. We don't have to go too deep into that one, but just for the listeners, I did want to ask you about Tristan McKenzie. He's a young arm. I could have had him down below in the next section technically, but it's a guy that came up in 2020 and had some highs and lows, to say. And he started out 2021 and it really wasn't looking too great at times either. But then the month of August kicked in and he's been outstanding, kind of looking like that prospect everyone was hoping he would be. Now he's on the IL with shoulder fatigue. It could be an innings thing. It could be really shoulder. We don't know. But what's your thoughts on a guy like Tristan McKenzie, who some say, his build makes it kind of a scary, fragile thing? Other people say the kid's good. So what do you think?
This one really hit me this week when it came, because I was really looking forward to, realizing the August that he had and was thinking, good, let's get, rest of the season, just let him start, see where he goes. To me, if he puts another September together, not even at August level, obviously, because some of the service numbers were crazy and weren't going to be sustainable. But the thing where, just the strikeout rate is just really consistent, and he's pitching fairly deep into games, then I'm really excited about that going into 2022. But again, knowing kind of his injury history some in the minors, the up and down nature of his major league career so far, and then this, I'm not sure what to make of it. I mean, it's shoulder fatigue, right? So on one hand, that could be just he's tired and needs a break or whatever. On the positive side, the velocity has maintained throughout this good stretch, which was the big story in 2020, even though he had a decent September, how each start the velocity got less. So I'm still not quite sure what to make of it, other than I'm not overly, it's not a positive thing, for him because of all the inconsistency we've seen so far. I know I just picked him up in a league a couple weeks ago and was really excited about those results early on in the first couple starts, and was looking forward to, hey, maybe that's someone I could really, give me a big lift here in September. Now I think the Cleveland team will be really, I think they'll probably, take it easy with him for sure. And, that's obviously going to affect us, on the fantasy side.
Yeah, I'm with you. They have no reason to rush him back. That's for sure. Right. Because they want him for the future. They're not going anywhere this year. If anything, the way they run their team, they probably want to keep losing. So that's something to think about as well. So it'll be quite interesting to see what we get out of McKenzie the rest of the way. Savale's rehabbing. Bieber, maybe we see again. I don't know. I don't think we do, but
yeah,
we'll see.
It's going to be very interesting. And I think, a lot of these guys will be on that Cleveland team will be really interesting next year because of the talent level and what some of them have done in the past. But there will certainly also be some added risk there because of the injuries that a couple of them have gone through. Most of them have gone through, frankly.
Yeah, most of them. Yeah, Plesac to boot. So it's been an interesting one for sure. Another guy coming back from the IL, Matthew Boyd, who there were signs at times in recent years that this guy was going to finally take that term, and then this year it just really hasn't been there. But he's returning from the IL on Sunday. We know that this late run here, wins are so hard to come by, strikeouts are hard to come by. Boyd gets strikeouts. That's one thing he does. Mm-hmm. And you'd figure they're going to try to run him out there and get some good innings in before 2022. Is he a guy that would interest you maybe in September, or is it strictly like matchup dependent?
I think it's probably more matchup dependent, partially because of the injury, and partially because I'm not totally sold on Detroit team. Now, they've been playing better for sure, but again, just depending, depending how, I'm not gung ho for Boyd. Let's just say for the rest of the way. There's a couple, I think I have him on a DC team, and where I'm going to need to kind of fill him in because of some other injuries I've run into, and we'll just have to see. I think you're right in the sense that because he's been out so long, they may kind of give him some starts throughout the end of the year just to get those innings in, and rather than have him sit out. But on the other hand, too, they don't have a whole lot to play for. I think, one thing I think as we're going through here, about this on the best, especially on the pitcher side, is kind of being aware of what, as we're making these decisions at this point, with this time left in the season, really what the major league, team situation is like, just having a stronger effect or on our decision making as far as who to kind of start, who to ride, who to kind of be matchup dependent on, that I think that has, more implications now at this point in the season than it does earlier in our season. Yeah.
Totally agree with you, because some teams will be going for it, some won't.
Right.
Speaking of the Tigers, they already didn't sit him down, but they cut down Casey Mize's innings for a while. Now he's back up. They might do it with Skubal still. Mm-hmm. Having Boyd back could allow for some piggybacking. Like, these are all things that could take place. We've seen the Brewers, who aren't like the Tigers, they're actually winning, but they're running away with the division, so right. They can kind of do the same thing. And you are going to see a lot of teams do this. You are 100% correct there, and it's going to make it kind of tough because you're going to, say, grab a guy that has two starts coming up. He's got two good matchups. The next thing he's pitching three innings. Like, oh, no, we're not going to start him on Sunday. Like, just let him rest. It's like, oh, that's great. That's great. So,
It's going to, it's going to definitely be part of, the season's been crazy, I think, obviously, for so long. We all know that with COVID and the injuries and all that. And I think September, because of, being at the end of the season and these major league teams at different places and these workloads at different places, I think it's going to be extra crazy the next 5-6 weeks.
And it's going to be really interesting. I've heard people talking about it recently, but it wasn't talked about for a while. September, we're not getting the 40-man rosters like we're used to either. Right. We're only getting two call-ups. So it's going to – like, you used to know, like, these bad teams that are out of, like, say, Cleveland, they'd call up all these guys, and we'd just have a mess of 30 days with them. But now it's like, they're going to have to still run some of these guys out there. They're not going to have a choice. So that'll make it interesting as well.
Yeah, I think for sure that's that is something that, we're just beginning to kind of talk about and kind of have a part of our conversation is that fact that, yes, the roster expansion is just two players, and how is that going to affect – the guys these teams run out there, and then how that affects our fantasy teams.
Yep. Ian Anderson, one of the better pitchers for the Atlanta Braves, they could definitely use him as they're making their push towards the postseason. Finishes, I believe, fourth rehab start earlier this week. He's scheduled to start Sunday against the Giants at home in Atlanta. And if all goes well, obviously, he'll be there the rest of the season. I know he's been dropped in many leagues. I know I dropped him in a 12-team league a few weeks back just because I needed roster spots. Mm-hmm. How aggressive would you be on a guy like Ian Anderson, who we've seen the highs and lows from this season?
Yeah, I think he is one, again, because of missing that time, and so that's kind of his built-in workload management sort of thing, and Atlanta kind of making this playoff push, I think, and trying to get their guys ready. He's a skill level guy that I would be more comfortable with kind of going after, for instance. I think overall he there's been some ups and downs this year. He's not been quite as consistent as he was in the rookie year last year. But his velo is good. The ground ball rate is really high. I mean, there's some things to like here. And as I'm thinking about, you know, players I want to start in these last weeks to kind of get me over that hump, you know, he's the type of guy with that sort of base that I say, you know, it wouldn't be crazy for him to get hot for 4 weeks. And, you know, then that's someone that, you know, that just can kind of carry you. And I think that, you know, as much as we analyze and all that sort of thing, I try to think about it in terms of those guys that have a base skill that, you know, one little push can kind of get them that hot streak that can give you, you know, an awesome run kind of stats for a, whatever, 4 week period, 3 week period.
And we've seen him do it before. So that's always a plus. And it's a good point because there's so many of these like random guys that kind of pop up out of nowhere. They're on a hot streak and you're like, I'm going to pick them up to see if they stay hot. Then they fall apart because, well, they really aren't that good of a player. Where Ian Anderson is a good player. So his floor is much better and that hot streak can be great. So that's a very, very good point. Speaking of another player with a good floor, and he may have been dropped in some leagues, but because it's been such a long IL stint and just a back and forth re-aggravation IL stint, Byron Buxton should be coming back this weekend. We'll see. Like, his rehab's gone well. They said they wanted to play him Tuesday, Wednesday. He played Tuesday, Wednesday. All signs point to a return very soon. We'll see.
Yeah.
But you follow prospects, so we all know Buxton was one of the big ones back in the day. Mm-hmm. And he's finally kind of hit that peak, but not really with the legs as much as with the power all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts on Buxton maybe for this season and going forward, just because the injuries are still there, which is very, very frustrating.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think about for the end of the season here, he's someone I'd be very interested in. Because he had the crazy good start, you know, yes, it's more power than what we thought, but, you know, we'll all take that. And I think there's some speed there too. And the fact that, you know, this isn't like a soft tissue injury that he's coming back from. It's a, you know, it's a broken wrist on a hit by pitch. Yes, you're concerned about the hand a little bit, but, you know, he hits a home run in his first rehab game back. I haven't heard of any sort of setbacks or concerns about that from his hand. I mean, it would be much different for me if he's coming back from a shoulder strain. Yeah. Or a hamstring or something like that, as far as just wanting to put your trust in him for the rest of the season. But Buxton is someone, you know, I think a little bit, you know, could be the hitter version of Anderson, where, like, you know, he's had an established floor. It's been really good. I mean, this year, let's say, I mean, I don't want to not acknowledge, you know, his injury history before that, certainly. But I think that it's someone that that could get hot and really help in some categories. And I think, you know, and I think because of his defense, the Twins are going to play him, basically. Yeah. Even though they're out of it, I think they are aware of kind of the they certainly are aware of the missed time and just the continued reps that I think for Buxton at the major league level like that. You know, it would just be a huge confidence builder for him if he hits the ground running again and does, you know, and performs at even a part of a level of what he had done so far when he got hurt originally.
Yeah, the reps is a big thing. They're going to need him to get those at-bats, head into the offseason, hopefully stay healthy in 2022. So they're going to want to put him out there at least, I'd say, 5 times a week, most likely. Yeah. So I'm with you 100% on that one. Couple quick hitters here that came down on Thursday. Rhys Hoskins back to the IL, which kind of came as a surprise. Like, I wasn't watching the Phillies games, but yeah. I have Hoskins in a lot of rosters, and he came back. He had another home run on Wednesday. So I'm like, oh, great. He's good to go. And then that news dropped. I'm like, what in the world? It's his back. He can't move. Like, he can't feel the position is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So you're a Phillies guy. What have you heard about, like, this situation? Is it just going to be like maybe another 10 days, or is this worse than people think?
Before I saw that note that he went back in the DL a couple hours ago, I was a little worried with what I read about, basically, in some of the local stuff here, about that he was going to need to kind of – that they were going to need to nurse this groin issue. You know, it was originally a groin issue kind of the rest of the season. That kind of made sense to me because he came back Sunday, hit a home run. They were off Monday. and they played Tuesday and he sat Tuesday. But they, you know, Girardi and everyone said, oh, he's fine. You know, he's fine. And I don't know, my BS detector went up off of that. And then yes, he played last night and hit a home run. But the fact of, yeah, the fact of that they were going to kind of, there was some sense of, I don't know, one of the beat writers or something, that it was going to be, have to be managed throughout the rest of the season. I was like, that's not good. So when I actually heard the news that he went on DL today, was not entirely surprising given the past couple of days of events. I think that they will probably try to push him as hard as they can, like they did here, because they are, you know, they're in this playoff drought. They're the Phillies are trying to get in there, and so I think that they feel like, and their lineup certainly needs him there. So my hunch would be, from a major league perspective, they'll probably try to get him back as soon as they can. From a fantasy perspective, when he comes back, is he going to be, you know, is he going to contribute like you are expecting him to contribute? I don't know about that, frankly.
Yeah.
And I've got him a couple of places too. And, you know, loved the home run last night and all that sort of thing. Yeah. But trying to be realistic about it, I don't know.
Yeah, I missed the part about the they're gonna have to kind of baby it for a while. That is not great to hear at all.
Yeah,
and like you mentioned, kind of in the Buxton talk, this is more of a soft tissue thing, which again, not good at all.
Exactly. Right.
So that doesn't make me feel warm and fuzzy right now. That's for sure.
And frankly, I mean, if in a couple of weeks they haven't made any sort of move and the Braves are still where they're at and they're out of it, you know, he would be certainly an early shutdown candidate, I would think.
That makes sense. Yeah. He's young. They need him for the future. Why risk tearing something or making it worse than it is? That makes 100%. I guess on the flip side, if you're in a deep league, it might be more Brad Miller time at first base for everybody. So
yeah,
have fun with that.
That's what they're going to do, I think. Miller's, Miller's
been decent. He's been decent.
I mean, he's interesting, and he's one of these guys that, you know, has been streaky at different times, and you know, plays hard and all that sort of thing. So it's not the worst option. It's not Hoskins level, obviously. But Miller also goes into slumps, but you know, it's not the worst flyer to try out if you're, you know, in a desperation sort of, or need to take a chance. It's not the worst chance to take, let's say.
Do you think we see Alec Baum back again this year? Because he got sent down, obviously very, very disappointing season for what many had hopes for. But do you think if maybe they go out of it, they say, yeah, let's bring him back up and give him another month of at-bats?
I think that that's the most likely situation. The most likely scenario that he would be back is that they would be out of it. They would say, you know, let's just get him. Let's just try to get him some positive major league at-bats. I think if they somehow make a move and get close to the Braves and they're kind of in it, I don't know that they go back to that well. It's the bone thing is just it's an odd sort of thing.
Yeah. Because what we saw last year, like all the hard hit metrics and all this thing, and then it just disappeared this year.
Yeah. And you know, it's just someone, because of the minor league work I do and the opportunity I get to go to see minor league games, I've seen him kind of up through the minor leagues, and this was just such a surprise to me, this sort of slump for him, because you know, beginning of this year, coming into this year, I was touting him as someone, you know, I never quite believed in the defense, and that doesn't totally surprise me, but I had seen kind of a maturity in him, that the defense wouldn't affect the hitting and the hitting wouldn't affect the defense, but it all did that watching him closely this year. He got frustrated visibly for both ends of it not working, but also, like, he was someone that I thought, you know, the hard hit stuff has been good. He's pretty good bat the ball. He's not like, you know, he's built like a big slugger, but he doesn't hit yet like a big slugger. And I thought his all fields approach and willing to take stuff the other way would like keep him out of like long slumps like this, but it didn't obviously, you know, and so it's quite it's quite baffling to me, the whole, that whole situation. And I don't, I'm not exactly sure where it leads, because the Phillies just in general, I mean, this is a sort of a Phillies tangent, but their team defense has just been not good at all. And I think, and I would think that Dave Dombrowski is going to be one that will at least address that at some point in the offseason to try to get them to give themselves better defenders, at least at a couple places. And I think, you know, Boehm is one area where, you know, it might be time to, you know, now maybe if they have the DH, or, you know, he is somewhat athletic. I mean, I think they ought to see what he looks like in left field, really. They don't, because they have problems out there also, just to give it a shot. But it's there's a lot of problems in Philadelphia.
I didn't mean to get you too fired up on that one, but I knew he wasn't having a good year, but I was kind of surprised by the demotion. I get it. They're in a contention. Yeah. They need production. I 100% get it. I was just like, man, what he did last year compared to what he's doing this year. Like you said, I'm not a prospect guy, but I follow a lot of you guys that do cover it. And the hit tool is really never one of the questions about Alec Boehm. So it was just like, whoa, what just happened?
Yeah. And you know, and I mean, but to take it back to fantasy, you know, we do, you know, we draft Boehm for our teams thinking one thing, and we draft Hoskins, you know, that sort of thing. So it kind of, you know, that's sort of the approach that we take, especially with our minor stuff, our prospect stuff at Baseball HQ, is trying to always be looking at it through that lens and helping readers and subscribers know and communicate that stuff, you know, trying to do the translation for people or along with people as much as we can. But then, you know, we think we have folks like Boehm figured out, and he totally blows it. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah. What can you do, right? What
but
can
it's
you
just, do? That's just part of the game, which
is part of the fun. I would like to guess, you know, us that try to give advice for fun, for this fun game we play, if we're right, like 35 to 40% of the time, we're doing really good. So just like, because it's crazy out there, and to get them all right would be crazy to imagine. Couple other bits here. TJ Anton returned for like one day. Tommy John surgery. That's a bummer. I hope we get to see him in 2023 be the TJ Anton we were hoping for. That would be good. And then Willy Adames, he was out again. I think it's the third straight day out of the Brewers lineup with a calf injury. So something to monitor if you're in the NFBC where you can make your Friday roster moves. Something to keep in mind as well, because when he's in the lineup, he's been great, but they're definitely taking care of this. And if something goes worse, Jace Peterson, Luis Urias, they're going to get a lot more playing time. So something to think about there. All right. Let's talk about some prospects. Or I put prospects, with some of these guys are, you know, technically out of the prospect rankings now. But they're young players that we've seen a bit of playing time this season and we had high hopes for. Some have figured it out. Some not so much yet. and we'll start with Edward Cabrera, who made a really, really nice debut on Wednesday night. Didn't get a ton of strikeouts, but super efficient. Looked like a very smart pitcher. You know, in the minors, he's a strikeout machine, but we didn't see that. He got sent back down right after the game. I'd imagine we still see some more of him this year, you'd think, since they brought him up once. What's kind of your outlook on a guy like Edward Cabrera? Because even if we don't see him this year, we'd imagine 2022 would probably be a good run for him.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about him in general. You know, it's a good three pitch mix. Although he threw a slider a little bit as a fourth pitch too last night. I think the thing that really stood out to me this year in watching him come back through the minors is just those strikeout numbers at AAA. You know, three of the last four starts, he had 11 or 12 Ks. And while, you know, he had been a good strikeout pitcher before that in earlier years, I mean, that was kind of a different level. So I was, you know, one game, I was a little surprised, as you said, that there weren't more Ks last night. But I will be interested to kind of monitor him at the major league level there, which I would agree with you. I think they'll probably get him some spot starts here throughout September, you know, to see what his strikeout potential is like. But he really made some, you know, has really made some improvements on his changeup, especially Chris Blessing and I were talking about on our podcast this week that, you know, I think really kind of raise his floor some. You know, there are some people that really think he's, you know, a really solid and maybe even near the top of that young kind of Marlins pitching group. They obviously won't all work out, but I think at this point with what we've seen, you know, from him in the minors here in AAA, especially this year, and the fairly solid, like you, and you said, efficient start last night, I think he's he's certainly someone to be excited about for the future.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because you mentioned these young Marlins starters. There's just time and time again, they keep producing. Like right now, we have Alcantara, we have Rogers, we have Eliezer Hernandez. It's just one pitcher after another, and it's a great rotation of young talent. And so far, they're kind of almost hitting on all of them, surprisingly. Still time for that to change, obviously. Right. But so it's been great to see there. I'm intrigued to see what Cabrera can bring, because if you can – add him to that rotation, you know, it feels like Alcantara is still going to be the number one, quote unquote, in that rotation, just because of his like seniority, if anything. But put Cabrera in there as the number two or number three, so he doesn't always line up against the ace. It could be a fun 2022 to see what he does.
Right, and you didn't even mention Pablo Lopez.
Yeah, Pablo. Yeah, totally. He's on the IL. I totally forgot about him.
And there's another, you know, and they have another really high upside kid, Max Meyer, a high pick from college, so he's closer. From the 2020 draft, that's in Double A now, that a lot of people really like too. Certainly so far in recent years, Marlins doing a great job with that pitching development.
Yeah, and we don't have to talk about this last pitcher, but I'm just curious because I saw Nick Neidhart when he was playing for Modesto out here, because like I'm about an hour from San Jose, so I used to go watch them all the time.
Yeah,
and good prospect for the Mariners, came over in a trade, obviously hasn't been great in the bigs, but his like last couple outings have been much better. So I'm wondering if like now that he's kind of been in the system a little bit longer, if they're kind of doing something with him, and maybe we see an adjustment there. And like it might still be a few years away, but because the talent level with him is there, it's just I guess translated. So that's another guy like they could just be just flush with talent. So
and you know, and you think about it too. I mean, again, taking it back to fantasy. I mean, we all know right now most of us have a pretty high outlook or a viewpoint of like what Cleveland has been doing with a lot of starters, as far as like, you know, at least an initial kind of bump and guys being quite a bit better than what we thought they were. You know, Plesac, Savali, obviously Bieber being the huge one, you know? So thinking about that, that is, you know, if Miami is starting to, or has, you know, has done kind of this track record now of you know, even a short-term track record of producing these good pitchers, you know, maybe that gives you confidence to kind of to roster a Cabrera ahead of when you might normally, you know, kind of wait for him to prove himself or whatever. And, you know, always being ahead of that curve fantasy-wise, even on the guys that are, you know, mid-rotation starters who no one else wanted at all, you know, can be a help for your teams.
Yep, very, very good point there. Let's go to one of the more polarizing names if you log into Twitter most evenings, Jared Kelenic. We've seen the minor league videos where he just hits everybody for 450 feet and just does everything. He looks like the best player in minor league baseball. He's come up to the bigs. He's had a couple of nice moments, but as a whole, it's been a grind, to say the least, for Jared Kelenic. What's your thoughts going forward from him? Because the talent is obviously there, but it is not clicking at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that for me, thinking about him for 2022 has changed a whole lot. Just because, again, this is, yes, it's happened twice. He's been a little better on this call up, but it's still on the second, you know, time he's called up, but it's still not clicking. And I think, you know, any hope of him kind of helping your team this year is pretty much gone. I mean, anybody can get hot, but I wouldn't, you know, there's not much in his metrics so far that say that that's going to happen for this year. But I still sort of trust the long-term, his long-term outlook. There, you know, as you know, you know, there are plenty of guys that first, second time up, even, you know, have had really rough starts and have turned it around. And that whole adjustment, readjustment process is part of that progression. So for now, I would, you know, I probably personally right now would, you know, downgrade Kelnick just a bit, but I think he's still a, you know, a guy that could just as easily go home from this year, you know, take the, take the winter off, just kind of reset, work hard, and, you know, could be hitting the ball over the place in spring training again. Mm-hmm. And part of that is just, perhaps I more than I should trust the, you know, trust the looks and the scouting and the, all that that we've had in the minor leagues. And especially for someone, with his pedigree that we've seen, I'm not quite ready to give up on him yet. So.
Yeah. It'll be fun to see where he goes in drafts next year, because there's a lot that are echoing your sentiments. And it's true though. It's like, we can't give up on him yet. It's technically, it's been two stints, but still one season. He's still very talented. He's still very young. So there's like so many levels to do it. And we've seen it time and time. The joke I make, or a comparison that I like to make as a Giants fan, is Mike Yastrzemski didn't do anything until he was 30 years old.
Yeah.
So like these guys, there's no set time frame. Like, you know, even 5-10 years ago, it was okay. Well, if they're not producing by this age season, they're pretty much never going to make it, and it's over. Mm-hmm. That doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
So with different teams, different technologies, different development patterns, like you see, obviously, doing your minor league work, it varies all the time. So it'll be interesting to see, because you'll have some people that just want nothing to do with them in the drafts because they've seen it. But there's going to be some people that take advantage of that, because if he does produce, the talent's there. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just to wrap it too, I mean, just to, you know, in guys in long-term, like keeper in dynasty leagues, I mean, if you have a chance to buy him, I mean, now might be the time to do that. Again, you know, you never know, and progressions and all that sort of thing. But yeah, Kelnick's someone I still believe in.
Yeah. 100% with you there. Another guy on Kelenic's team on the Mariners, Logan Gilbert, came up. I was very excited for him. I'm usually not a big prospect guy, grabbing him on the fab wire, basically. But I was excited to see him. You could even watch it in his first start. The adrenaline was just flowing. He could not locate at all. He was amped up as it could be.
Totally right.
But he figured it out. Like, after a few starts, he looked like the prospect everybody wanted to see. Last few starts have been a little rough. Might be kind of running out of steam as the season goes on. I don't know. I'm a big fan of him going into 2022. What's your outlooks on Logan Gilbert? Because he's one of the few prospects so far this season that have come up, then shown us what he could be, I think.
Yeah. I think that his recent tough outings and stuff is just part of the adjusting process. I feel better about Gilbert than I do Kelnick, although there's different types of players. I'm not saying that Gilbert's upside is as high as Kelnick's, but the fact that he had the adjustment period where he figured it out, you know, at the major league level, and even though now, like I said, maybe he's running out of gas, maybe the reports are coming in on him and guys are figuring out ways to beat him, the fact that he can go back and look at that stretch of, you know, of good ball, of good performance, of good starts, I think is a good sign going forward. And, you know, you put that on top of the kind of where he was and how he was looked at coming up scouting wise, where he was, you know, how he was perceived, ranked, and all that sort of thing. I definitely feel good about Gilbert. And, you know, for him, certainly the health thing has been good too as a pitcher. I mean, there's been no health setbacks that I know of or have been publicized. And so that's another sort of box to check. So I think, you know, this experience for him, rookie season, you know, maybe a little rough start, better middle, maybe a little rough at the end, is just part of the progression.
Yeah, totally makes sense on that one. Let's talk about a guy with a rough start that looks like he might be figuring out too, is Chris Bubik of the Kansas City Royals, drafted highly a couple years ago. And he's been very, very good of late, striking out guys. He's facing very good competition. So I can't even say it's just the weekend AL Central. No, he's faced like the White Sox and the Astros and some good teams. So I like what I'm seeing from him. Is this kind of a fluky deal, or do you believe might be something we kind of see going forward?
I still need to see some more out of Bubic. I wonder about the I still don't quite believe in the high strikeout rate that he's done in the past couple starts. I want to see that kind of maintained longer. And, you know, and I think there's some, you know, there's some walk issues there too that I would prefer to look at. So Bubic is someone that, we're definitely seeing a good stretch in August, but I feel like the bar was low, and I'm, for whatever reason, there's some other Kansas City pitchers I like better. And, maybe when I get into the book and in the off season and do all the research, I'll find some things that change my mind. But for right now, he's not a target necessarily, for me, although, you know, being 23, really young, I mean, there's lots of time to develop that too. He's not a target for me right now.
Yeah, the Royals are close to making some fun stuff happen there with the when they kind of sold off, and then they picked up all those draft picks. Yeah. They did very well getting a lot of college ready pitchers. So we'll see how that one plays out.
Yeah,
Arizona Diamondbacks Tyler Gilbert, three starts ago, first career start in the bigs, nearly 28 years old now, and he threw a no hitter. Yeah. And I try not to put too much cold water on it, but if you broke it down, not a lot of swing and misses, a lot of pitch to contact. Like, the BABIP was, like, it was great. No hitter is a no hitter. I'm not going to discount that, but it was one of those, like, you basically got through this and got through it. His last two starts have been okay. Nothing special jumping off the page. I know I saw you you've seen him in the past, and you had a big report on him before. What's your thoughts on Gilbert? Is this more of a pitch to contact guy, or is there more to it?
He's a pitch to contact guy. I could echo pretty much everything you just said about that no hitter. I mean, it was, as much as a no hitter can be fluky, it was fluky as far as in terms of that result was far and away above any sort of skills we have seen that I've seen in the minors coming up. Or that he's exhibited this year. I mean, it's a wild story. You know, when I saw him, he was with the Phillies as a starter. They, after only a couple of years, moved him to the bullpen, where he pitched for them, the bullpen and the minors up through AAA. And then for whatever reason, the Diamondbacks, when they picked him up this year, put him in the rotation, and he's done, you know, he did well at Reno, and he's held his own here. But I think for fantasy purposes, I mean, he's really just a number four, number five guy. I mean, he's going to have some, you know, he's going to have some good starts. I will go out on a limb and say he'll never pitch another no hitter, but you know, there'll be starts that he would help you from a fantasy perspective. But I think there'll also be some blow ups too. And I'm not sure, he's a deep league guy, possibly, that you could play with some matchups, like, say, end of this year, next year. But it's nothing that I would say is a Diamondbacks building block, like, for a rotation.
100% with you. Like, I'm in need of strikeouts in a lot of leagues. He's not near the top of my list. So that's definitely one of those. But yeah, a no hitter is a no hitter. I won't take that away. But man, look at that Statcast page. It just screamed, I wish I had your luck sometimes.
Yeah.
Justin Steele of the Chicago Cubs, when he made his first start, they're going, bullpen guy is what it is. But I started looking at him more after another start. I'm like, okay, they're going to keep him in the rotation now. Yeah. Let's see what they got. He's got some strikeout upside, and we've seen some decent things in the minors. What do you think when you look at Justin Steele?
I'm gonna watch Steele kind of from afar right now. And you know, again, maybe this is my scouting sort of pedigree, or, you know, scouting bias, but you know, it's not someone I heard a ton about coming up through the minors. Like, you know, similar to you, kind of dismissed him when they first brought him up, and since then I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'll take another look. But, you know, again, given where the Cubs are, given that home park, all that, I'm not rushing out to kind of pick him up. I'll take a look. I'll take a look once the season's over. You know, if he stays in the rotation and holds his own for the next five, six starts, then I'll take a deeper look kind of at Steele. But for right now, it's not his name. Not a name that's jumping off the page at me.
All right. Outside of Jared Kelenic, Joe Adell was probably one of the more talked about preseason outfield prospects, if not just prospects in general. Yeah. Coming into the season, they thought there was a chance he might start the season with the Angels at one point in time or whatever. Then he goes to the minors, and they start calling up other outfielders because Joe Adell is still striking out a lot, and they wanted to get that fixed. Yeah. You know, their hand was forced, or they said, you know what, let's just do it. They finally called him up, even after Brandon Marsh. And Joe Adell's been good, not great. He's been okay. Yeah. We've seen signs of life from time to time that you see that the prospects there. What's your thoughts on Joe Adell going forward?
I'm cautiously optimistic with him. I do think that it's important that at least on the major league level, you know, this time that he's been up, the strikeout rate has improved for sure. Now there's still, you know, there's still tons of swing and miss there. And I think there always will be. But the fact that he went down and yes, yeah, still struck out a lot in AAA this year, but also had, you know, also when he came up here so far has been making better contact, you know, is a positive. And I think the fact that, you know, he does a decent job with hard hit rate, I mean, and he has that sort of athletic body, I've still got some hopes for him. I think his ceiling definitely has dropped off some than what it was a couple of years ago. But, you know, he also would be a guy that has shown the tools in the past that would that I could conceivably sort of, you know, take a chance on for the rest of the season. You know, one of these guys that, you know, hey, maybe in a lower pressure environment this last month, most likely the Angels are going to run him out there because of, you know, wanting him to make better contact and continue to see major league pitching. You know, maybe he runs into some home runs and stolen bases, like he's done, you know, that had us so excited about him, 2-3 years ago. But I think overall, I think his ceiling is lower. But I do like his prospects to kind of be an important part of that Angels team next year.
His teammate Brandon Marsh, now on the other hand, hasn't shown a ton of power per se. That he did go deep the other night, but he's been getting on base regularly. He's with hits or walks. He's got some speed, so he's kind of outshined Adell overall, and maybe that's why he got called up before Joe Adell. What do you see in him going forward? And would you rather have Marsh or Adell going into 2022?
The thing that does concern me a little bit with Marsh is just his major league strikeout rate is crazy, crazy high.
Yes, almost 40% or something.
Yeah, and so that makes me wary that the rest of his production is going to be sustainable if that remains that, you know, if the strikeout level remains the same. I do like Marsh in general, given that I do think he, you know, has a decent power speed combination, and there is something there that led the Angels, like you said, to kind of give him a look this year before Adell. I think I would still take Adell long term, but it's a lot closer for long term. The question you asked me for next year. I think I would still want Adell for next year, but it would not surprise me. It wouldn't be surprising to me if Marsh was the one that worked out better kind of next year. And maybe even, you know, it's not out of the question that he could have a better career. I mean, that's I would still put my money on Adell for that. But Marsh, I think, is better than what we thought.
Yeah, I've not a prospect guy, but I was wrong on Marsh. I didn't think he was. I thought he was just out there to kind of fill some time for Joe Adell to get there, and he's proven me wrong. He's played very, very well this season. So
you know, and for you and me, I mean, that hair is just.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I'm thoroughly jealous. I've been jealous for a long, long time of those people. Yeah. But he's something special. That kid, you know, he's a great ball player and a head of hair. I tell you what, it's ridiculous. Another guy that's got a full head of hair and just got called back up on Thursday because Hunter Renfroe went on the bereavement list. That is Jaron Duran, who, man, it looked like right when he first got called up, we had something here. And then it slowed down. And for some reason, they were not playing him versus lefties, who he hit just fine in the minor leagues. Yeah. That one, that bugs me all the time, period, but I don't want to go on that diatribe. Yeah. But what's your thoughts on Jaron Duran? Because, again, similar to Kelenic and these guys, the talent level's there. He's just not producing that first time around.
Yeah. I was really, I'd say from a talent level, I was really behind Duran and thought that the changes he made and the power he added and the fact that he, you know, word was this was, you know, started at the alternate camp last year, the fact that he showed it in spring training, the fact that he proved that same sort of output level at AAA, I thought that this could well be one of these minor leaguers that actually hits the ground running, you know, because that to me is like the most, one of the most difficult parts about the whole prospecting sort of thing is trying to figure out that holy grail of kind of who's going to struggle once they get called up to the best, you know.
It's such a big jump.
Yeah, facing the best opposition in the world, and who's going to, you know, struggle and need some adjustment time. So anyway, I thought, you know, I thought, well, maybe here's a shot at someone like Duran, who proved it at those levels that could do that. The thing that was curious to me is what you sort of alluded to is that I thought, given the Sox's needs and where they were at as a team and kind of in the running and all that, I thought if they brought Duran up, they would plug him in at center field and he would be the center fielder. And so when that didn't happen, then I wonder what, you know, did I miss something else, you know? And I think, I mean, it has a lot, you know, an important part. I think that's an important part of us trying to figure out who's going to produce and not is, is how the major league teams handle that. And sort of, you know, we sort of alluded to this with the Phillies with Bohm and stuff is, you know, putting these young guys that are just getting their feet wet, again, facing competition not like they faced at all in any other setting, you know, putting those guys in position for them to succeed and having confidence that they will be able to handle what you throw at them kind of thing. And so the fact that, you know, like Bohm, they sort of backed off from and sat him for a while and now sent him down is one. And this Duran thing is similar in the fact that they brought him up, gave him a little bit of rope, it seemed to me, at the very beginning. And then monkeyed him around back and forth out of the lineup. You know, I just wonder, everybody, you know, all the players psychologically are different, and that's going to affect different guys different ways. But it's easy to make the jump to say, you know, for someone like Duran, oh, they don't quite have the confidence in me to, you know, they have enough confidence to bring me up and not to play me every day. What does that mean? You know, all that sort of thing. So all that to say, I don't know about Duran. I like the skills and supposedly the adjustments, which are big. You know, a player can make adjustments like that at the minor leagues. I think that's a very positive thing that this player can do that and figure it out at the highest level. But the fact that I'm not 100% sure that the Sox have shown that they believe that makes me wonder a little bit about his future.
Yeah, it was so weird because when they didn't let him go play in the Olympics, let him qualify, let him go to the Olympics, I was like, okay, right. That means, hey, we want this guy here to play for us.
That's what it seemed like, yeah.
It's so weird. It's so, like, if I'm Duran, I'm like, why didn't you let me go to Tokyo then? Like, come on. Like, let me go win a bronze or a silver, right. I think.
Let me go
do that, and then I'll come and talk to you guys in platoon for you. Yeah. But, yeah, really, really strange. And, again, I can't stand teams that say, oh, they can't hit lefties because they're lefties. And then, like, it's always in my head. They said that about Brandon Belt for years. They never let him do it. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, wait, he can. Like, look at this.
Yeah.
There's many others that's happened.
Yes, exactly.
A couple other quick ones for you here. Again, this is not a first-time call-up, but Jesus Luzardo, massively talented young arm, big-time prospect. I saw him when he was pitching for Stockton. Yep. The kid was just like, he strike out everybody. Ridiculous. Yep. And he just cannot find it in the bigs. It's gotten worse and worse almost every time out. Again, now he's on the right team potentially in Miami. We talked about that. So that could be something that helps. And I think being closer to home is going to be really good for him also. I think that's going to be big. What's your thoughts on him? Because he's going to be free in draft next year.
Yeah. He's going to be, I think, someone that I may end up with on teams.
Well, the talent level's through the roof.
Yeah, because of that. And I think, you know, just let him – just doing what the Marlins are doing. Just let him pitch now. If he gets hit around, you know, the rest of the season, fine. Leave him in their big league rotation. Get him that experience. But I think the talent level for him is something that I would not at all be surprised to have him turn it around, you know, be a big riser in spring training and one of those guys that you, you know, can't draft at a good spot come the end of March. I think the Marlins, yeah, I mean, I think they know what they're doing with some of the trades that they're making like that, and that could be a really impressive kind of pickup for them. Maybe I'll look crazy, and he, you know, he's one of these guys that can't make the translation, and, you know, only lasts whatever half a year before they try to do something with him next year. But for me, I like what I've seen too much out of his talent, and I think I would feel positive about him in 2022 and going forward for sure. Again, and another guy that's really, you know, that's really young.
Yeah, super, super young. He came up real quick. He went through the system very fast.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of growing to come with that. Like you said, he could find a new pitch mix that works better. There's so many things that could happen. Yeah. But one thing that they can't change is the talent that's in that arm. So it's there. I think the fact that, he's going to probably be free in drafts until there's a million articles saying everything you just said because it makes sense. And then he starts going up in the drafts again. Yeah. But where he's going to be going, most likely, at least in early drafts, if he doesn't work out, you can cut him, and it's not going to cost you anything.
Yeah.
So, but if he hits, he could basically like give you like 100 picks of value potentially or something. Like, yeah, he's that talented. So that'll be a fun one to kind of discuss in the offseason for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Akil Badu of the Detroit Tigers, he was a Rule 5 guy, so they kind of had to roll with him at first, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then he started just hitting home runs out of nowhere. Couldn't hit for average. But then things changed. He started hitting for average and stealing bases, not hitting for homers. Now he's on the IL. Which Akil Badu is it?
I don't know, other than, you know, looking at his month-by-month splits. I mean, June and July, he was all about contact, you know. Mm-hmm. And those are the times when, you know, he put up the numbers you're talking about. I mean, I think it's exciting because he's definitely a multi-category guy. If he can maintain that contact. Again, he's young. You know, you remember his story too. I mean, he wasn't at an alternate site at all, was, you know, injured before that. So he's missed a bunch of time. Because he's a Rule 5 guy, he never went through the, you know, never got much time at all at the high minors. So he's really, you know, learning on the job. I think long term, I'm pretty interested. Like a lot of people, I didn't know much about him at all. And we, you know, we do an article on the Rule 5 picks every year when they happen, and, you know, try to look as positively as we can for some of these guys. And, you know, and he passed through. I mean, we didn't pick that up at all. I'm surprised when he made the team. And I think there's some good things there. It would not surprise me if even next year there's some inconsistency like this, mm-hmm, as there's adjustments and adjustments back. But certainly because of his multi-category kind of potential, someone I'm interested in. And I think, you know, I think in general, I think the Tigers are on the rise with some of the pitchers that they have now at the major league level and a couple big looking impact type bats at Toledo at the minor league level that within another year or so, I think are going to, give them some fun times out there at Comerica.
Yeah, they have a lot of talent come up and have a lot of money to spend pretty soon. Like, they have the makings of a nice little run coming up. So Paul Spohr is going to be even more fun on the sleeper on the bus.
That's exactly soon. Right. Yes.
A couple like just quick ones here. Jake Myers got a call up. He was kind of filling in when Kyle Tucker was on the COVID IL, but then they traded a straw, so it kind of leaves potential time for Myers. You got Tanner Houck, who got yo-yoed forever with Boston. Now it looks like he's in the rotation for the rest of the season potentially. Yeah. And then you have Luis Eel of the Yankees, who looked outstanding. Like, he shocked me of how good he was. But they're kind of yo-yoing him around as well, it looks like, right now, because they don't need him. They have guys coming off the IL. Do any of these guys give you some fantasy interest going the rest of the season?
Rest of the season, again, because of the team context, Myers is sort of interesting because I was just surprised. You know, it seems like where they're at, that someone like Straw, even though there's deficiencies there, is more of a known thing than Myers, you know, for a center fielder. So for them, you know, again, maybe I'm reading too much between the lines, but for them to kind of, you know, trade away Straw and basically, you know, even if it was by injury, kind of give that job to Myers, makes me wonder what they see there.
Yeah, I'm with you.
The metric wise, I mean, he's, you know, he's hitting much better than he should be as far as, you know, batted ball. I mean, his play skills aren't good. I mean, it's kind of a guy that's ripe for regression rest of the way. But again, you know, if the Astros kind of believe in him, it makes you, you know, it makes me double take because of that situation. Hill, I'm interested in long term, but I'm not sure rest of the way. Mm-hmm. Again, because where the Yankees are, that he's someone that I would kind of try to pluck out as a helpful one down the stretch. And who was the person in the middle?
Tanner Houck.
Oh, Houck. Yeah, I mean, Houck is someone that caught my eye last year, watching a couple starts and kind of following him a little closer this year through the minors and here. It would not surprise me if he's someone that they, even though maybe they play him up and down some, but kind of give him some, a decent bank of starts to see. And I think he could, you know, could be one of those guys that could potentially help you sort of in a sneaky way down the stretch.
Yeah, lots of strikeout upside with him. I know that much. So I've been trying to stash him everywhere I could in between demotion and recall and demotion and recall. It's been a mess for about a month.
Yeah.
But man, it's been something else. Last question here I have for you, and I think we've seen pretty much the majority of the fantasy call-ups we're going to get this season.
Yeah.
I know Shane Baz is the only name I've thought of in previously thinking about this. Are there any other guys that we should keep our eye on? Like, you know, NFBC, you can't add them until they play, but maybe there's people playing on Yahoo or Fantrax that can go out there and grab them and now and stash them. Are there any names that come to interest for you?
Yeah, I got this question in another setting just recently, and I don't think that there is going to be a lot. Part of the, and it's a couple of reasons. One is what we talked about with the September roster expansion is only two players. And I think that the, you know, and again, going back to team context, this could be a team context issue, is that a lot of the top sort of prospects that are, you know, ready, Adley Rutschman for Baltimore, Torkelson and Green in Detroit, that, you know, that are ready and could make some impact are on these teams that are out of it. And, you know, it is what it is. Teams are playing under the rules of the CBA and, you know, don't want to start their clock and all that sort of thing. So I think with those couple things combined, that we're going to see less significant call-ups of minor league guys, of top minor league guys than we would other years. Where in other years, you know, you might reward Torkelson with, you know, 2 weeks at the end of the year because he's had such a great year, that sort of thing. I kind of doubt that is going to happen. Although, because of how the Rays deal with it and because of where Boz is at, and because of how they want to get set up for the playoffs, it would, you know, totally make sense for me, from my perspective, to see Boz up. And, you know, maybe he's opening for a couple innings. Maybe he's, you know, a multi-inning guy in the bullpen, or maybe they start him. And given how they have developed guys, and again, how much trust I have in what their process is, you know, I'm going to be alert to when they think a guy is ready. You know, Boz could be, yes, a strikeout pickup, you know, if they bring him up.
Yeah, I like that. And, you know, with some of these guys like Torkelson and Green and others you mentioned, hey, they don't get called up this year, but maybe we get to see them in FPAS. So that would be awesome.
That's right.
Because there was none last year. So let's see if we get all like an extra special group of prospects there this year.
I mean, that's a great point. We're waiting to waiting on the rosters, but
that should be pretty soon. Right?
It should be. Everything's getting pushed back. I mean,
usually it's a couple months out. It feels like at least a month and a half.
Yeah, and we don't even have a game schedule yet.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be coming in the next week or so, which is hampering us a bit. But I wonder if that won't all be revealed at the same time. The schedule, the rosters, all that kind of thing. But you're exactly right that there are a lot of top prospects out there. Julio Rodriguez is another one, obviously, that's high up on a lot of lists that could well be out in the Arizona Fall League. And that only makes our First Pitch Arizona game viewing process even better.
Well, why don't you, once again, as we're wrapping things up here, plug FPAS, the forecaster, everything going on at Baseball HQ.
Sure. You can find all our stuff at baseballhq.com. We're a subscription site, but there are we do run free articles once or twice every week to give those non-subscribers just a sense of what we do there. You can find on the website, you can find information about First Pitch Arizona, which is the weekend conference we run in conjunction with the Arizona Fall League. This year's dates are October 14th through 17th, and we are looking forward to getting back together there after having to miss last year due to COVID. In September, we start taking pre-orders for the Baseball Forecaster, which comes out in early December and is a look and preparation volume for you for 2022, extensive player profiles. There'll be research articles. There's a whole encyclopedia of, if you're just getting into it, all of these sabermetric metrics and things that we use just in general, as well as at Baseball HQ. We'll also be selling copies of the Minor League Baseball Analyst, which is our kind of prospect companion guide. Again, all of this stuff is kind of looking at this great game through the lens of fantasy and kind of how to help you get an edge in whatever league you're in, your home league, your NFBC league, whatever. And that's our kind of goal. It's what makes it fun. It's great. It's great talking about, writing about, podcasting about baseball throughout the year. So,
yeah, I recommend checking it out, guys. Brent can't title it this, but everyone that uses it calls the Forecaster basically the Bible. So go check it out. It's a phenomenal resource going into draft season. And one thing I do love about HQ, besides just the content in general, is, you know, most of us go to Savant these days, look like X stats and all these things. You guys use some of those, but you guys kind of have your own derivative of how to kind of look at expected stats for things. And I think they're very, very useful, like very, very good tools. They also have the Mayberry method, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
And the Babs, obviously, that Chandler does. So
yeah,
lots of ways it'll make you a better fantasy player, folks. I'd recommend checking it out. Thanks. But Brent, as always, this was a blast. I really enjoyed our chatting with you. I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing you in October. And we'll have to do this again sometime.
Yes, for sure. Appreciate very much the invitation to join you. And definitely hit me up in the future. And yes, we'll look forward to shaking hands or bumping elbows or something out in Arizona.
Yeah, we'll see what we're allowed to do by that point in time, but we'll have some fun regardless. But everybody, make sure you check out Brent on Twitter at BrentHQ and check out all the great stuff at BaseballHQ on BaseballHQ.com. This was Benched with Bubba, episode 397. Catch you guys later.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.